15. Revelation 15, verses 5 through 8 is what we will be looking at this morning. Quite a journey as we go through this prophetic book, pointing ahead to what is going to take place. As we are confident, we are not going to be going through these times here on earth that is taking place here in Revelation of God's wrath being poured out upon an unbelieving world. It's really cool, as we've seen, that there's going to be a period of time, and we're going to be looking today, that it's not going to be always the case, and for sure, when all of this is complete, that day, an opportunity for anyone to come to know Christ as Savior, there is going to be a time when that is cut off, and it will be no more. And it's interesting to see that even through the tribulation time, as we've discussed in the last weeks and months here, to see that there will be those during the tribulation time period that will actually come to know Christ as Savior, but they will come to know Him at a great cost. And most will be martyred for their faith in that time. And as I believe, we're not going to go back to that, but I don't think that that is going to be an open opportunity for just everybody during the time of the tribulation. I think that there are those who go into the tribulation who had a clarity and heard the gospel and chose to reject it going into the tribulation. And we can look at those again someday. I think of some verses that point out that probably is not going to be an opportunity for them. So anybody that thinks, well, we're going to wait till the tribulation, we got another opportunity, right? If I miss it at the rapture, I'll have an opportunity to come to know Christ. It's going to be horrible, but I'll still have an opportunity to make a decision then. I wouldn't count on that, okay? I wouldn't count on that. We do serve a merciful and a gracious God, and I'm so so thankful for that. The fact that we're here today, that we have breath and life, considering that we are sinners before a holy and righteous God. None of us deserves the breath that we have, and yet by God's grace, He gives breath to us for the opportunity for us to come to know this Savior and this Lord who has stepped out of heaven, came to earth to redeem us and to set us free and to give us new life and to give us a new purpose and to give us an eternal promise of being with Him for all eternity, something that is so undeserved, going back to Genesis chapter 3, from the very beginning, to see how man chose man's way. We're going to do it our way, and to see the brokenness that came with that, but then to see a merciful and a loving God, clear back in Genesis, in the midst of the picture, gives us clarity to show that He had a plan and a purpose from the very beginning to make a way for you and for me to come to know Him, to understand the redemption and forgiveness that can come through Christ, and to trust in Him and again be brought back into relationship with Him. As Adam and Eve were enjoying in the garden prior to the fall, had perfect fellowship with their Lord, perfect fellowship with each other, and then sin entered into the picture. And then the blame shifting and all of the things that took place, the woman that you gave to me, Lord, is the reason why I ate of the apple, right? Taking no responsibility or accountability for his own wrongdoing. But we just see it. The brokenness that comes up. But praise the Lord, we have some exciting news. And today we're going to look at something, a glimpse that the angel that gave this prophetic vision to John, a picture of what was taking place is going to be taking place in heaven at this time, and what's going to come out of it. And so we're going to look at that, the place of worship. Again, what's taking place in heaven when all hell is breaking loose on earth. And so undoubtedly, we're going to have a part in this picture here of what's taking place in heaven, because we believe that we will be there in this moment. That's where our place of residence will be at this time. In the middle of the tribulation is tribulation. The rapture has taken place, just as we shared yesterday as a reminder, that the graveside of these old bodies are one day at the rapture are going to be caught up to in the clouds. Christ doesn't return to the earth then, but we are caught up in the clouds to be with the Lord, which we use the term rapture. That word is not in Scripture, but the caught up, being caught up, rapture in the clouds with Jesus, and bodies resurrected, those who were dead in Christ first to rise to new life, their bodies, an eternal body, one that will never see decay or brokenness again, to be reunited with their soul that is in the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The old body goes to the grave, but the soul goes, and that's, we think of Tony, we think of Ruth, and we think of all those loved ones who have gone on before us. But there's coming a day, and boy, wouldn't it be awesome if God chose to come back in our lifetime and for us to be caught up to be with him, to see the graves blown open of the believers' bodies coming out of the grave and being made whole and new, an eternal body, and for us to be caught up right after that, all in the twinkling of an eye. How amazing that will be to experience all these things that are coming. We are on the side of victory. We are on the winning side. And isn't that comforting to know as we read about all the things that are taking place here in Revelation? Well, Revelation chapter 15, starting with verse 5. I'll just look at these few verses, 5 through 8. If you have your Bibles, follow along as we go through this. After this, I looked, and in heaven, the temple, that is, the tabernacle of the testimony, was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining and shining linen, and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. So we get a picture here of something that is taking place in heaven that is preparing for wrath to be poured out on this world like has never been seen before. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon a Christ rejecting world is going to have the wrath of God poured out upon it. Not only the people, but actually the earth and everything in it is going to experience God's wrath and disapproval, his hatred of sin. And it's going to be a devastating time. But it's interesting to see what is taking place here. And again, that the angel chose to give these thoughts, this vision to John, it's has significance and understanding. We need to see it and to think through it, of what is it that is being displayed here. Well, we see three significant things about the Holy of Holies in heaven. A description is given of the messengers of wrath. It's interesting. We think of heaven, and I'm not. Is heaven going to have a place of Holy of Holies, because heaven is in the presence of God? God's presence is going to be there everywhere, and so. But it's interesting, in this vision, there's this vision of the temple and what is going to that, where God resides in all of his glory, God's presence, God the Father, his presence. And to witness this awesome moment of what is going to take place here, these messengers are given these bowls of wrath. They come from a pure and holy place. They are seven angels with seven plagues. These aren't angels that are going about their own bidding and doing their own thing. These angels, where did they come from? They came out of the temple, the presence of the Lord. So they are, these angels have been given their directions and their purpose, and what they are being delivered, what they are being given by this cherubim, okay, as we are reminded, and we've already looked at one of these messengers before, we'll look at a verse here in a moment reminding us of this, that gives these seven angels a holy mission. A mission of God to do something that is going to bring tremendous suffering, pain, and wrath, but it is cradled in holiness and purity and God's design, God's purpose. He has to, because God is a holy and a just God, he has to do what he is about to do here, because God hates sin and it has to be dealt with. And praise the Lord, he did deal with it on our behalf at the cross. And we praise the Lord for that. And we had the opportunity, and all humanity has the opportunity to make that decision, to place their faith and trust in the finished work of what Christ accomplished upon that cross, dying for our sin. And through his shed blood, which brings about the forgiveness of sin, that perfect sacrifice, we are able to experience this new life and this redemption from the wrath to come. But oh, for those who have chose, if we go back to, I could quote it, but I better not, because I'm going to screw it up, I'm sure. John 3. I love what it says in John 3. John 3:16, of course, we know very well, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save the world through him. My friends, think about this. So we're looking at future, what we're talking about here, but let's remember the God that we serve. Let's remember his great love and his tender compassion and desire to redeem us from the wrath to come, of what is going to be poured out upon this world in such a horrendous way. The pain, the agony, the suffering that will come, because that is what they chose. Take God's word for what it says in, he clearly says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but to save those, to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Praise the Lord, you and I have the privilege of choosing to place our faith and trust in the finished work of Christ and what he has offered to us. And we don't have to experience the wrath of God to come. That's what you and I deserve. But he is choosing through his love to redeem us from that. What a gift. How can we not? You just think about the theme of our songs this morning. How can we not tell that story to the people around us today who are dying and going to hell, who are going to experience the wrath of God for all eternity? How can we not share this message of good news? We have been given a treasured gift. What opportunities is God giving to us to share that message to those who are going to experience the wrath of God? Why does it say here in John 3, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son? It's a choice. We all have a choice. We can either choose or reject. And to those who choose to reject, they get what they want. They get what they've asked for, and that is eternal wrath. Can you imagine? Oh, Lord, thank you for loving us and caring for us so much that you have chose to make a way for us. But Lord, help us to not be silent about what you've done for us. Help us to be a voice of truth, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Because what is coming for those who choose to reject Jesus is eternal wrath and separation. Can you imagine? Forever. Well, the seven angels with the seven plagues, they were characterized by divine righteousness. Again, they came from a righteous place. They came from the presence of the Lord, right? We see that in this passage. They came on a divine mission from God. Okay? This isn't just random angels out there doing their own. This is from God. They came with a mission. Out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were clothed in pure linen. What they are about to do is horrific, but it is absolutely right. It is with justice, God's justice, God's design. He has to deal with sin. Oh, if we could look at sin as God sees it. My friends, he hates it. He hates sin. And yet how we find ourselves reveling in it or allowing ourselves to stay in a mindset of unforgiveness and anger and hatred or just indulging in our own fleshly desires, which God clearly calls us out from. And he so longs for us to look at sin as he sees it. And no, we're not going to do it perfect, and we have no room to be self-righteous and to point our fingers at those who have suffered and have fallen into sin. We need to be quick to come alongside, especially within the body of Christ, and to recognize we fall short. We make those moments of mistakes, and what we don't need is condemnation, but what is needed is love and a heart of compassion, and to come alongside and to say, I love you and you matter, and most importantly, you matter because God loves you and you matter to him. He has created you and designed you for a purpose. So there's compassion, there's love. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that gives us that clear example. They were clothed in pure linen. What they are about to do is horrific, but absolutely right. No sin is a part of their actions. They were not acting out of a sinful heart or a vindictive way. They came with a pure heart, given by God, or mission given by God to do what they were about to do. These seven angels came from the presence of the Holy God, ready to judge the earth, and no one can stop them. It's interesting. We see a shift that's going to take place here in this picture of what is going to happen in this time of great suffering and trial, the access to the Father. The door is closed. They wore their garment, a gold sash symbolizing royalty and to God's glory. They were pure. They were and displaying royalty and the glory of the Lord. A description of the mediators with wrath. One of the living creatures. This one who brings the bowls to them, right? The one that brings these bowls of wrath for them to then be poured out. We saw them here. There was four living creatures, remember, that we looked back earlier in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, 6 through 9. Also before the throne, there was what looked to be a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. What was their purpose? These four living creatures were there for the purpose of bringing glory and honor to their Lord, to worship, to honor this, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Their purpose was to worship him. They were covered with eyes in front and back. The living creature, the first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had the face like a man. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. One of these living creatures who is about worshiping and praising God, all that's what they do, brings this message of wrath. Remember, I think it's just important to see that what is going to take place here is coming from a holy place, from a place in which God must do it. If we think that we serve a God that, I can't imagine a God that would possibly pour out his wrath upon humanity as we're about to see here. How could a good and loving God do such a thing? My friends, if he doesn't, he isn't a good and loving God. He's not dealing with the impurity, the sin, and the wretchedness that has destroyed relationship with him. He has to deal with it. He has to. And this living creature, there's some commentaries that say that maybe it was the one with the face of a man, thinking of all of the heartache, the sin that came through Adam and Eve in the garden. There's no proof of that, but that's a question that was or a thought that was thrown out. I love what Romans 8, 19 and 21 through 21 says. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. God's redemptive plan of what he longs for. But when those who choose ultimately to reject him, God's wrath is poured out upon them. God has made a way through his son Jesus. He loved you so much. He loves us. He has made a way. But there are going to be many. Wide is the gate. Wide is the road to destruction. Narrow is the road to eternal life. And many are going to choose Most are going to choose the broad road. Doesn't that break your heart? It should. We see the presentation of the finality of God's wrath. The finality of God's wrath in Revelation 15:8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Up to this point, the throne room of grace has been accessible ever since Christ's death upon the cross. But here we get a picture that that time has come to a close for those left on earth. The door is closed, and God's wrath is poured out upon a lost and dying world. It's a humbling thought, isn't it? It truly is. Until the seven bowls are poured out, there is no direct access to the throne of God. When this, as we see here from John's vision, when this begins to take place and the seven bowl judgments are given to these seven angels, and now they are going to begin to pour out these bowl judgments upon the earth. And during this period of time, the door is closed. From what we can see here of the opportunity for there to be salvation. No access. The seven angels come from the presence of a holy God ready to judge the earth, and no one can stop them. No one can come into God's presence and beg him to hold them back. No one can enter the temple because it is filled with smoke of God's glory and power. God's holiness demands justice, my friends. He is a holy God. And he has done more than ever deserved of his mercy and his grace to be bestowed to humanity, to show us the God that he is who loves us so much, and yet to see how many will choose to reject him. But that's never changed. God could do, as we see all through the New Testament, the miracles that were done over and over, and yet the miracles didn't seem to make a difference in bringing most people to an understanding. In fact, they hated him for it. Isn't it interesting? The old enemy, what a liar, a deceiver, a confuser of thoughts he is. His integrity insists that all of the wrongs be made right. The God that we serve, he has to make all the wrongs be made right. And that's exactly what will happen, as we see here in this passage. This is a fresh reminder to us that today is the day of salvation. Today. There is no promise of tomorrow. We do not know the day or the hour that we will breathe our last. We don't know. But when we do breathe our last, the moment of opportunity is done. Does that not strike us? It should, to think about those whom we know who have chosen at this point in time to do life on their own, to do it their own way. We can't save anyone. It's only through the power of the Spirit of God that's going to save and redeem anyone. But my friends, he has called us as followers of Christ to be a light, to shed his light, to share his light, to reflect his light, his love, and his compassion to a lost and dying world. This world needs believers who are genuine, just as we have celebrated two wonderful followers of Christ who had genuine faith and had a passion and a love for Jesus, and their day came and they were called home, and they're enjoying their reward today in their presence of their Savior. What a joy. But for so many, that is not their story. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "For he says in the same or in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. When he comes, John 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. There's coming a day when he is going to deal. He has to deal with sin of a rejecting world and bring the punishment that it deserves, that it's asked for, actually. It's asked for it. They have chose it for themselves. Psalm 95:7-8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did the day at Massa in the desert. He is this reminder for us today, God has done so much. He is always working around us and seeking to lead us to him, draw us to him. And he's wanting for us to look to him, to understand and to worship him and to accept him, to humble ourselves before him and accept him as the only way of salvation. What a gracious and loving God. For those who do not know Christ, today is the day of salvation. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow, actually the next moment, is not guaranteed. For those of us that know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Today is the opportunity that we have the opportunity to be a light, a witness, and a testimony to a lost and dying world, that God might use our testimony and our life as a way of bringing others to the saving grace of Jesus. He will save them. He uses us, though, as an instrument. How will they know unless someone tells them? As it tells us in Romans, how will they know unless someone shares the good news of Jesus Christ with them? My friends, these are important days that we're living in, and we have no time to waste. You know, it's such a joy to sit and to celebrate a brother, a sister who has gone on to glory because they knew Jesus. But I'll tell you what, every time I do a funeral and every time I have no assurance of that individual who I am doing a service for, I have no assurance that they have salvation. And I think, Dean, what were you doing? Why didn't you spend more time? Or why didn't you share more? And sometimes I've poured my heart and soul in sharing the good news with them, but they have a choice. To accept or to reject. I can't save anybody. All I can do is pray, Lord, will you do a pricking work in their spirit? Will you awaken them and make them understand the need of a Savior? Are we sharing that message? Are we living it? Do we have the joy of the Lord in our life? Are we looking different than what the world sees everywhere else? We as believers should stick out like sore thumbs in the day in which we live, because there is a world that is so broken, but we have such hope and we have such joy because of the one in which we know. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me as we close? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the joy of knowing you. Thank you for the joy, the hope, the peace that we have in knowing you as Savior and Lord. Father, I pray that you will help us as followers of Christ to be passionate, but oh so compassionate. A love, a deep yearning, and a care for those around us, that they too might know the message of hope that will redeem them from the coming wrath that is imminent. It's coming. The day is going to come when you are going to, as a holy God, pour out your wrath upon this world. And not only upon the world that exists at that moment, but for all eternity, those who have rejected you, they are getting what they asked for, what they chose. Because your word tells us that you desire to condemn no one, but you desire to redeem all who will come to know you and accept your free gift of salvation. Oh Lord, help us to be a witness and a testimony for you in the days in which we live. We praise you and thank you for the treasured gift and opportunity that we have to do just that. Now give us the courage. Give us the peace. Give us the words to say that come from you, from your word, to proclaim that message. Help us to be authentic Christian followers of you in the day in which we live. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You're dismissed.